Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, episode number 356. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the director of SEO for Advanced Local. Having a good day, my friend?
Welcome back, yes. Thanks. Did you ride any horses out in Montana when you were visiting the state?
No. I would love to do that sometime, but no, actually, I'll probably hurt myself. My back's already bad enough.
I hurt myself the first time I tried, so you're probably right. But that was the girl I was dating at the time's fault because she didn't cinch the saddle down tight enough, and I was riding along, and all of a sudden, the saddle started spinning off the horses, and so did I.
Go! Might make you a little horse shy. Oh, dear. Yeah, I know. I was in Montana just to do some speaking for a National Kitchen and Bath Association, doing some SEO and such. It was fun. It was a whirlwind, a few days in and out, 2 days of speaking. And I enjoyed that aspect of it. It wasn't very nice weather and stuff, so I was pretty happy to get home.
Yeah. We've been having crappy weather, but we're not supposed to talk about weather on this show. Weather and politics are our two banned topics, if you don't recall.
There you go. Okay. Well, we have a fair bit to talk about today and a little tighter timeline here. So let's start with the indexing bug. Now, I'm catching up on this. I've been overwhelmed a bit since I got back, but I know you've been on top of it. So why don't you fill us in a little bit?
So early morning on May 22nd, we got notification from Google on their Twitter feed. It's the Google's Webmaster Central Twitter feed, which is, you should probably be watching if you're not. But they told us they were having problems indexing content, new content, right? So as the spiders were out gathering, seeing new content being published, they could find it, but they couldn't get it in their index. This was really important to us because I work for newspaper sites. So we're publishing content all the time, and getting it out there timely in the search is important to us. So it hit us kind of hard. So I was following it very closely. And probably around noonish on that day, I started seeing them index our content again. However, normally a new site content, we get our content indexed probably within 10 minutes. That's kind of the long. It was taking 30 to 45 minutes to get new content indexed at that point. So that was still kind of concerning to us. Mm-hmm. But luckily it was across the board. So it wasn't like a competitor was getting it indexed faster than we were, which kind of evened things out some. They kept working on it. We got another tweet from them at 1 a.m. in the morning saying they had fixed their issue. So I'm sure that their engineers were working very hard, because if you think about it, that was like publicly the first time that we know that Google was not indexing the web for a significant period of time, right?
That is huge. No question.
But they, I'm sure every engineer in the building was working full time, no breaks for peeing or eating.
Yeah, they had to get out of their beanbag chairs and get to work.
Yeah. And it was interesting. People were asking, and Barry had posted an article, just so everybody knows, that problem will not impact any of the Google Search Console data. You probably, if you're a news site or you're publishing a lot daily, you may see a dip in traffic on May 22nd. Across the board, we didn't see a huge dip. Again, it was, I don't know if this was just news sites or for everybody, for our sites, indexing just around noon started being taking a lot longer, but they were actually indexing the content. And we did a little test, and by going through Search Console and manually submitting to have something recrawled, that actually got it indexed as well. So some more important pieces we did that way and got in the index. So it was a fun day on May 22nd.
Hey, that's what keeps things interesting.
Yeah. So just if you weren't aware, or if you're wondering about what it means, it's over now. And unless you publish a ton of content every day, it probably didn't impact you too much.
But it is sort of, and this is something that are sort of a next piece of this, is it does show sort of a troubling trend as of late with issues with Google.
Oh, yeah.
you know, we both read, and I know you've got your own opinion on this too. Not that you normally don't, but yeah, never on what is going on over there. But, you know, from what I've seen, it's a lot about what may be changing in terms of the infrastructure and then using the latest bots using the Chromium browser. You know, what issues, those are pretty substantial updates they've done lately, Googlebot updating and all that stuff. So I don't know, what was your thought?
Well, see, and I think there's been a lot of bugs happening at Google over the past month or so. And there are things, you know, originally I thought they were kind of tied to the upgrades to Search Console because some of the bugs were happening over there. But they seem to be spread across many more areas of Google now. There's local bugs that we've been seeing now, this indexing bug. The theory is, and I've seen a couple of people other than myself talking about this online, is that there's some major infrastructure change happening at Google. Because think about it, right? Google's not going to stop indexing the web. They had to do something. Something happened. They were changing something critical to their infrastructure to cause this bug where they stopped indexing new content. That's just not something that happens accidentally because somebody, you know, left a character in a wrong place. They're making major changes behind the scenes at Google, and they're big, complex, deep changes. You know, they could be tied to the Chromium thing, like you had mentioned, Ross. They could be tied to all the changes in Search Console, but all this stuff is tying together to seem like a major, major upgrade change is on the horizon at Google. I think they're making some really big infrastructure changes, which at some point are going to roll out to be changes that we have to deal with as well. I don't know when. You know, these kind of things can take years to develop. Who knows how long they've been working on this kind of stuff? You know, we're just seeing this mass influx of bugs happening all at the same time, and I just don't believe it's a coincidence.
No, and I think you did like. Definitely in good company there. None of us do, I don't think. It's just too many all at once. Right. But we can hope that they've worked out the biggest ones.
There's not bigger ones yet to come.
Yes, exactly. We can hope.
But you can't get much bigger than not indexing new content.
No, exactly. And then that big part, or that one of the initial bugs where they lost a huge chunk of sites and index content.
Yeah.
That was who's this? Is this really Google? That was so right. Unlike them.
Yeah, it's so don't be surprised if, you know, later this year or early next year, Google says, we've changed everything.
Well, and you know what gets me is when all this is happening, and we do a lot of audits and trying to help clients out and trying to determine what is working and what isn't working and why they're not ranking. And when there's this kind of volatility in rankings and this sort of, it definitely gives us a bit of pause, especially, well, in this case, this next bit here, when we deal with a client who, yeah, they've made some mistakes with the site, but we've corrected them and they're still not getting back in, or at least they don't seem to be getting any kind of visibility of significance. It makes you wonder, you know, did they get bypassed or are they stuck in some kind of a weird limbo as a result of all these changes? I don't know. I doubt it, but I've also had cases in the past where certain sites just seem to be cursed. It's very rare, but once in a while, they just, no matter what we did, they just would not do well. Obviously, they weren't exactly publishing content that had thousands and thousands of visits, because when you do that, well, you're going to get found and you're usually going to improve. They're usually smaller business sites that have a difficulty being differentiating themselves from other competitors. In this case, it's we're not going to share the website, but it's an insurance site. And the client's like, okay, I've done the changes he asked, and I still don't understand why we're not showing up. Now, one caveat here is we do know that the site was hacked and we fixed it. They weren't showing up as hacked. Google hadn't claimed to have noticed it. So there's always a wonder whether or not, you know, it really had played a role yet. But usually hacking results in some pretty crap links. And it was a brand new website too. So it didn't have a great reputation to work from to start with. If it did, if it had a good history and it got hacked, usually those bounce back faster. So yeah, anyway, it was something I was, the listeners I was talking to John about, and I was saying, you know, what do you do? What do you do when you get to these situations? It's one of those things that I feel a little bit frustrated with, because, you know, we're pretty good at what we do. And when we find these situations where we just can't seem to get things to move, but we do know there's some issues. How, at what point do we just say to the client, you got to wait and stop looking at stuff?
So I guess the questions that I would ask, and I can ask you, you know, first I look at Search Console, you know, to see if there's any kind of information there in the messaging about any kind of, you know, manual actions or any of that kind of stuff.
No.
I assume you did that. I would look at, you know, if it's a relatively new site and they have a pretty small backlink profile. For me, backlink profiles is all about percentages, right? And if they got hacked and there was some, and there's some backlinks in there that is part of that, what percentage of the backlink profile overall are those bad backlinks? And then did you go through and identify them and do a disavows, that kind of stuff? If you're doing all this kind of work, you've got good content on there. You know, are they showing up for a standard site colon search, and what does that look like? Because that the site colon
and they search, are,
yeah, yeah. But the site colon searches can give you a lot of clues. Like, I've seen, you know, in my personal opinion, if you do a site colon search and just put the domain name, the home page should always be the first page that shows up, because that's where most of your link equity shows up. That's where most of your weight is in most cases. If other pages are showing above the home page, that to me is a red flag that something isn't working right or something's wrong. Those are the kind of things I would look at first.
Well, it's definitely, you know, we've, all the above has been done. You know, there's, now the one thing about links, it was relatively, we think, recently hacked. So links probably won't really appear at this stage. Okay. In any of our systems. So, you know, there wasn't anything disavowed yet. But, you know, Scott's pretty good at this stuff. He's done the audit of it, looked at it, made some suggestions, but he didn't see anything that would really spawn this kind of offense.
Did you guys do, I mean, even if you didn't get, did you get a notice from Google in Search Console about the site being hacked?
No, I'm just going actually in to see, you know, with my luck, it would just appear today.
If you didn't get one of those, it wouldn't hurt to still do a reconsideration quest. Tell them the site was hacked. We cleaned it up, because they may, especially with all the weird changes going on in Search Console right now, they may not have given you, they may have like identified the hack, and you know, they kind of pull back on showing you in search results when you've been hacked. If you don't go in, you might want to go in and tell them, hey, we were hacked. You didn't send us a notice, but we want to make sure that you know that we fixed it anyway, and give them all the standard reconsideration request stuff.
Yeah, not a bad idea. Why not at this point?
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people face this, and it's often, I would think, those people are ones who are newly listening to our show to try and get some ideas, and hopefully this will help you out, because it is a very, it's annoying for everyone. It really is. I hate having these issues. And again, it's not that we don't have any idea of what could be the issue, but it's still, I'd rather have a smoking gun, and it's very difficult to find those in these cases.
Yeah. Smoking guns for NSEO are always make our lives easier.
Yes. For example, actually let's hold on for this. We'll take a quick break and we come back, and we'll jump right into a little spam rant I've got here, and then we'll go back to one of our pieces of news. We'll be right back.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
What if you had access to analytics from the most visited sites on the web? Think about real-time sales and signups from Amazon and Netflix, stats and engagement from Slack and HubSpot, all on one patented platform. That's Nacho Analytics. Nacho's perfect for details on your product design and development, instant for influencer info, and fantastic for real-time financial figures. Level the playing field today for your business with Nacho. What are you doing?
All this nacho talk got me hungry.
Level the playing field today for your business with NachoAnalytics.com.
Seriously?
It passes before it's noticed. A slight rising of the eyebrows, a widening of the eyes. It may be accompanied by an almost imperceptible inhalation. The heart adds a beat like a quiet exclamation point on the experience. Within a tenth of a second, the reaction has passed, but not without leaving its mark. Someone found what they're looking for. Does your website deliver impulses to act? It can. Intended Consequences is the podcast for digital marketers who see their job as changing hearts and minds. If you're frustrated, bored, or in a rut, it's time to spread your wings with me, Brian Massey, and my guests. Find out how successful, curious, creative, and data-driven marketers are making a difference on purpose. Visit intendedpodcast.com or find us where you get your podcasts. Intended Consequences, marketing on purpose.
There are over 70 million active podcast listeners in the U.S. Webmasterradio.fm reaches them all with the largest global distribution of any online business-to-business podcast network. We can target and place your message in front of those active listeners immediately. Now, your message can be delivered with less commitment and investment on over 20 hours of weekly original content hosted by the most respected names in digital marketing. Thanks to an exclusive private offer available for a very limited number of companies. But you must act fast. Email BRASCO at WMR.FM and get your message delivered now.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the director of SEO for Advanced Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So on another example here, one of our clients, actually a brand new one, they were puzzled why they weren't ranking, and they were currently using an SEO, and that person apparently done some disavowing of some bad links they know they had done in the past. Okay, well, that's a bit of a flag. So, all right. And I decided, well, obviously we need to do a deeper look. You're laughing. You saw it, did you?
No, I haven't. I was coughing.
I was trying to hide it. Well, look, I can't share it. I'm sorry, listeners, but we'll describe it. But if you click on one of those links, John, you'll get a kick. It is epic, the kind of spam this SEO was doing. I cannot even fathom how you can explain it away. Essentially,
that's crazy.
I know. Like, I think he must have found a 1999 SEO guide and decided to follow that. It is so bad. Essentially, he put the name of the company and a location and made that link to a page that was all about that location and that company, and then a service provided. And in this case, I can't say what it was, but whatever, it might have been plumbing. Well, in this case, this every single area in the flipping, I mean, how many areas is it covering? It is ridiculous.
Yeah, there's
hundreds.
Yeah, easily. And when you say areas, you're talking about physical locations,
exactly,
names and things like that. Just make sure everybody's clear.
Yep. Like, so plumbing, Vendy, plumbing, Bainesville, plumbing, Lancaster. It's crazy. And then the description for each one underneath is copy and pasted with replaced text. Oh my God, it's just so beyond. And then that's just one page.
Jeez. And then each of the individual pages I'm looking are exactly the same copy too.
Yeah. And those, for some reason, he's put a canonical back to the bad, the original page.
Back to the index page?
The one that you were just looking at.
Holy crap.
I mean, I really feel bad for this client. And she, in this case, I had no problem doing so. She's asked me to write a letter saying that, you know, this is blatantly against Google guidelines and this person was not serving you well.
Is she paying it? Did they pay for this?
Oh, they paid a lot. So that's what she's going to try and get her money back for.
Yeah, I guarantee there's some kind of script the guy wrote that just did all this stuff automatically. He pushed a button and created these pages and he FTP'd them up or something.
Some sort of a lifetime service package he bought for some program. Anyway,
bought in 1990.
Yeah, exactly. Then he has different pages that target, let's say instead of plumbing, bathtub installation, and does the exact same thing. It just goes on and on. I mean, there's thousands of pages altogether. And I was like, how is your site so big? They're like, it's not. Like, uh-oh.
Yeah, guess what?
Oh, dear. So, you know, there are examples where, well, you know, if you have this problem, there's something hidden.
Are those pages live on their site?
Yes.
Why are they still live?
Oh, we just found out.
Okay.
I'm currently in the process of getting them to sign a contract and we're going to jump in and fix it. Yes. Yeah.
Fix. Delete, 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 delete.
Well, that's it. It's a massive deletion. And we found another one that was hacked. In fact, when I was doing these presentations this week, I was auditing sites live, which I really like to do. It's fun. And found a hacked site. In fact, this person's website was ranking really, and this was an interior design company, ranking really well for Jordan's shoes.
Gosh. Well, maybe they should leverage that and start an affiliate program on the side.
That's what I was saying. I said, you guys, you're doing so well for this. Why don't you just switch it around and start selling shoes? But you know what astonished me? It really astonished me is the spam, blatant garbage that this person had hacked the site and built in was getting top rankings. How? Like, it just blows my mind that Google doesn't see this stuff.
They probably have it all. It's probably all attached to like PBN networks, where private blogging networks, where they have their money sites. And then they use this kind of the stuff. They spread it around all over the web with, you know, some kind of link or some kind of, you know, to build up their money sites, right? It's
astonishing. It really is.
It's crazy.
But yeah, it's not just these links were just going to money sites. It was her site was ranking well for pretty, yes, they were long tail, but they were targeted. And it was,
which is good for the money site, because if you got a good high authority ranking site with a link pointing to your site, that's a good thing.
Just how the hell did they get that visibility? I just don't get it. It's been quite an interesting couple of weeks doing auditing.
You should reverse engineer it so you could do it for your own sites, but make all your hack stuff about SEO. That way it's...
Yeah, how not... Yeah, but don't do black hat.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. All right, I bypassed something there. So why don't you...
No, I put it down below. I put it back down below.
Okay.
So this is an interesting story, actually, because... A while back, let me give you some history here. There was a time when Google said if you used tabs on a page, so let's say you had a product page, and then underneath that you had a tab that had the description, a tab that had the specifications, and a tab that had reviews, and that kind of stuff. You see that a lot. And Google was saying very specifically that they were not counting any content that didn't show on the page on the first render. So when the page is initially rendered, and you look at the page, if that content wasn't seen, they didn't count it. So all those reviews on a tab and all those technical specifications on the tab, they were saying didn't count. Then they reversed themselves and said, well, no, we are counting all that content. We understand that that's valuable content and that it makes sense that we count that as content on the page. So that was a real relief. But now what they're coming back, and they're updating this a little bit again. So what they're saying is, if you have content in those hidden tabs, they're not going to use that content for search snippets. So, you know, to get into the answer box or any of those kind of things that you try to get into with search snippets, you have to have that content show up on the page on that first render. It can't be hidden behind a tab. So I thought that was pretty interesting and something to think about when you're designing your pages and building your pages. And if those search snippets are important to you, make sure that it's out there on that first rendering of the page. And it's especially important for mobile pages.
Yeah, and we both agreed that that's insane. Just because it's in a tab doesn't mean it's not important and worth being in a snippet.
Exactly. But I think part of it is also for mobile user experience more than anything. Cause if you see that snippet and you go to the page and you can't find it until you've on the mobile, it's more of a user experience decision for them than it is what's important from a content perspective decision.
Yeah, fair enough. And maybe they could notify them that this would be worth being a snippet. I mean, Google wants this content to show.
I think what Google's saying, if you want it to be a snippet, the way you notify us is put it on the first render.
I realize that. I'm just saying if they saw something that they really thought would be worthwhile as a snippet to users, then they, because that is all about what they are, apparently, they would tell you and just say, this is not being shown as a snippet because it's in this accordion or dropped, hidden or tabbed content. Make it more visible. I don't know. Yeah. I know it's dream world. I know.
And here's the actual quote. It says, so what generally happens with content that is hidden behind a tab, we will use it for indexing. We'll use it for ranking. So that's the first thing. And then he says something that doesn't make much sense, but then he goes, then he goes on to say, with the mobile first indexing, when we index the mobile version of the page, it's not a problem. So it shouldn't affect ranking, but what will happen is we won't show it in a snippet. Right.
Hmm. Now, did they specifically say mobile?
Mobile first indexing. So
yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good. All right. All right. Next up is Yandex Webmaster Tools. Well, I guess we should check it out. It's not exactly young enough for listeners who don't know what that is. Yandex is Russia's main search engine. Google doesn't even touch the market in Russia. Yandex is the king. So if you have any interest in being found in Russia, you have to look at this. And it's apparently this. Is it a fairly comprehensive webmaster tool set? I haven't looked.
Well, I was looking at the article, and a lot of this came from a Twitter stream that I never can pronounce her name. Alida Solis, is that right?
Yep. Close? Yep. Okay.
She was talking about it because she went in, and she says some things that it has. It has an internal linking report that shows you which pages are blocked or showing errors. External linking report, which is really great. It's cool features that she'd like Google Search Console to have. Important page tracking features. Site architecture report, which is interesting. It's customizable, showing crawled versus indexed pages. Removed and re-indexed pages in bulk option. That's interesting.
One of the things Nick Wilsden notes is that it gives you 100% of your data, unlike Google. These are good as a secondary check. He says he's collected just actually greater than 30 gigabytes of user journey recordings. Not sure exactly about that part, but that's crazy. And the fact that this is all there, pretty handy.
If you want to get there, check it out yourself. I'll post the link in our Facebook group, but it's pretty simple. It's webmaster.yandex.com.
Yeah, and Yandex is how it sounds, YANDEX.com.
If you try it out, post your thoughts on our Facebook group for sure.
Yeah, that would be awesome for sure. All right. Let's hit on this cars.com versus cars gurus. I thought it was kind of interesting too. Cargurus.com. It shows the importance of SEO is that the topic or the title of this article on search engine land. And when I saw it, I thought it was true, at least the crux of it all. I didn't read the whole thing. But
what? Was that, you didn't read it?
No, that's my job. Behind I am. but it was, if your competitor gets hit, Google, you know, Google hits it, the rankings start plummeting, maybe they did something wrong, jump on it, man. Take advantage of that opportunity to get ahead.
Well, see, I think, because I've been saying this for a year plus, maybe even now, I've been saying it for over 2 years now. The cars.com is the future of the model for e-commerce sites. And I've been using cars.com as an example because they build content and they actually block their inventory from search. They don't even have their inventory indexed in search. They completely block it and rely specifically on the content they build around the vehicles. And the reviews and all that stuff outside of their inventory, which is the way in my mind that any large e-commerce platform or company should be leaning towards. I mean, there are instances where you do want, you know, part numbers and that kind of stuff, depending on your industry. But I'm a fully in, what's the word I should use?
I'm fully
convinced, and I'm fully behind the idea that inventory-based content is pretty much, unless you're the only one that ever sells that piece of inventory, it's going to be seen as duplicate low-quality content if it's not already. It's going to get there very soon. So you're going to have other types of contents on your website to really bolster that product inventory that you have, because that product inventory is not going to drive organic search for you for much longer, I don't believe.
Okay.
At least not the volumes it does now.
All right. Well, thank you. I'm sorry we had to cut the show a little bit shorter today. We do have a bunch of content for the next show, though, so we'll be pulling that along. Any of your questions you have on there, please do keep posting them on our Facebook page. So
real quick before you do that, I want to make sure we cover this carsgurus.com thing on the next show. Is this being a teaser this week? Next week, I want to get deeper because there's some really interesting insights in this.
Yeah, and by that point, I'll have read it. That's good. Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Director of SEO for Advanced Local, thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Facebook group, easily found by searching SEO 101 Podcast on Facebook. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which are at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, every Monday on webmasterradio.fm.
Thanks for listening, everybody.